Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Austin Orman with you on Old School 93.7 Ticket, ticketfm.com. We'll hear from Jay Foreman coming up here in just a little while. But until then, appreciate all of you on the Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line keeping me company. This is Old School brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. To learn more, you can go to themercadobutcher.com today. Check out their selection. Find out where their three locations are in Lincoln as well as one up in Omaha. And I do recommend that you transfer your meat buying money to the good folks at the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. They have excellent product, excellent service, excellent staff. They are the best. All right, back on task. Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line 402-464-5685. 4979, does playing on a better team actually support more athletic development, i.e. Cam Jurgens, Beatrice? He didn't play on a great team. It does and it doesn't, right? There's something about being the best player on the team. But I think that we can see every time Cam Jurgens goes back home how much Beatrice appreciates him sticking around, you know, and continuing to play for Beatrice instead of going to play for Norris or transferring into, say, you know, Lincoln Southwest or some such, you know, wouldn't have been quite the same for Cam. Maybe he gets better coaching. Maybe he gets better development. But maybe he doesn't turn into Cam Jurgens. If he makes that move, we'll never know. But yes, I mean, we see this in college and in high school and even in the pros, right? The better of a team that you play on, you would think you're going to be getting better coaching. You'll be pushed by better athletes that will help make you better. The flip side of that is from 5317, who says, I transferred high school, so I had an opportunity to play sports. 5317, I would really love to know where you began your high school journey at and then where it is you ended up, because I think that transfer can go a lot of different ways, right? Either you transfer from a big school to a smaller school, or maybe it's within the same class, but you transfer from a program where even as a junior, you're on the JV team, but you can get varsity reps if you transfer somewhere else just because their program isn't in the same spot. He says, started at Lincoln Southeast, graduated from Lincoln High. Let me know what sports you played as well, 5317. I think there's a lot that goes into it, right? Or would you transfer from a class C1 school in your area to, you know, baseball? Okay, 5317. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Southeast had a decent baseball program as well. So, yeah, I get that. I guess it makes sense. Appreciate you you chiming in there, 5317. 3477. Mentions guys like Cale Fountain and Jackson Reitz in that discussion. Mr. Mike D, club volleyball has killed girls' high school basketball in Nebraska. Club sports in general have caused such an uptick in high school transfers. I agree more with the second point than I do the first. Club volleyball has killed girls' high school basketball in Nebraska. We'll start with that, though. It certainly made the numbers dwindle, but that, to me, is more a parent and athlete problem than a volleyball versus basketball problem. There shouldn't be anything wrong with the increase in popularity in volleyball. for young girls across the state of Nebraska. We see that they're incredible coaches everywhere you turn in that sport. We know that a lot of the growth and popularity of volleyball has happened right here in Nebraska. Why hasn't it happened other places the same way? It's an advantage for Nebraska, right? Doing it bigger, doing it better, doing it more. The problem I have potentially with club volleyball is that because of just how competitive it is, it feels like if you're not playing volleyball year round, you're falling behind. You're missing out. You know, well, this other girl played volleyball for 11 months out of the year, only took 1 month off to, I don't know, train or go on vacation. You know, she's going to be without a doubt a better volleyball player than the one that ended up playing basketball and running track or playing softball. No, not necessarily true. And I abhor, it pisses me off with a burning passion that there's been this mindset instilled in high school athletes that they have to specialize or they're falling behind. It's just not true. Not to the degree that it's been made to seem true. Now, there are some places, right? Well, maybe you're at a big Class A school. You're a 6A school in Texas or whatever, where you're not the star athlete. You're good. You're good enough to start in at least one sport, maybe two, but you're going up against other student athletes in your grade or on your team that have specialized. You know, at that point, you want to get on the floor. I can understand you wanting to specialize, but if you're at a Class B school, you're at a Class C1 school, even most Nebraska Class A schools, the majority of the time, if you're a good enough athlete, you should most likely be able to start or play a significant role on multiple teams, right? Think about Jet Tamala at Millard South. Not only is he the starting quarterback, he starts on the basketball team as well, right? And you can go up and down the list of student athletes like that, whether it's, you know, Scut football and baseball, whether it's, you know, Westside football and basketball, there's got to be some overlap. These schools are big. They're good. There's competition. But I don't even think these Nebraska high schools are big enough to where you can say, well, if I don't specialize, I'm not gonna see any playing time. I just have a hard time believing that's true. If it is true, and that's your experience as a parent, as a former athlete in that realm, please let me know if I'm wrong. But if you only enjoy one sport, okay, so be it. Only play that one sport because you enjoy it. I'm not going to force you if you're at a, you know, C1 or a B school to go out for football and basketball and, you know, track or baseball or whatever your spring sport would be, just out of obligation, right? I mean, full disclosure, I mean, I went to a C1 high school. I went to Lincoln Lutheran. I didn't play football because I didn't like it. The numbers in terms of participation at Lincoln Lutheran were horrible when I was there for a while. They were going down. They were dwindling. The program was not in a good spot. It certainly rebounded. It's certainly going back in the right direction. But I can just think back to my high school experience. I didn't want to feel obligated to play football, a sport that I didn't enjoy playing as much, just because it would have been, quote unquote, the right thing to do. Well, you have the opportunity. Don't let it slip away. You know, you have the chance to play a sport in all three seasons. Why wouldn't you? And I get that. I heard that argument a little bit, but football just wasn't for me. Maybe that's not true and I convinced myself it was, or maybe it was true and I made the right decision early. But during football season, you know what I was doing? I was in the gym getting shots up. I was taking batting practice. You know, after I'd just gotten done with Legion ball. And I'm not the best example to use by any stretch of the imagination, but when it comes to club volleyball killing basketball, that doesn't have to be true. If club volleyball is killing basketball, that is my initial reaction, and I'll talk through this a little bit. My initial reaction is shame on those club coaches for being selfish, making it about them, growing their brand, their profile, and their program, instead of allowing their student athlete to do something else they might enjoy. But then here's the flip side. What if all you love is volleyball as a young, you know, student athlete growing up, and that's all you want to play? Never had any interest in basketball, never had any interest in just running because cardio is boring. Volleyball is your love. That's fine. So be it. But you can't tell me that all the girls that have gone from playing volleyball in the fall and basketball in the winter, you can't tell me that 90% of that difference is made up by, oh yeah, we only love volleyball, we only like volleyball. I worry there is too much pressure from above, whether that's parents, whether that's coaches, guardians, advisors, whoever it is. My fear and my worry is that there's too much pressure from people in authority or well-respected people in the lives of these student-athletes that push them to specialize too early. It is unnecessary. It is a false dichotomy. It does not have to be true. The second part, though, Mr. Mike D., whose text we're on, club sports in general have caused such an uptick in high school transfers. That's undeniable. Absolutely undeniable. Because you're playing with athletes from other school districts, from other schools, from different walks of life. And when you get a good thing going, you don't want it to end. When you find people that you work well with, that you enjoy being around, and it's a fun environment for you, absolutely, you want that to continue. It's just unfortunate that the success of, say, Millard South or an Omaha West Side, that's probably the better example. It's really unfortunate the success of an Omaha West Side winning the back-to-back state titles had to come essentially at the expense of Burke. When Coach Lamangi brought like a dozen players from Burke to Westside. You know, once it's a zero-sum game, right? Someone wins, someone loses. It's one and one, right? And you look across classes, someone wins and someone loses. But I think we all, or many of us, I won't speak for everyone, sorry, let me retract that. I think there's at least a little bit of all of us that miss that magic of growing up with a group of guys or gals, and those are your teammates, those are your friends for life that you played sports with from the time you could walk to the time you went your separate ways in college. And I don't think it's necessarily wrong in general. It's just different. And that we do live in a new day and age with more club sports, with more transfers. But the hope is that it's done for the right reasons. And we can't police what the right reasons are for each person or family. And I don't want us as sports fans to be in the business of judging what makes a good transfer, what makes a bad transfer, of what makes a good program, of what makes a bad program. I'm about to sneeze, so pardon me if that happens here in a sec. It's just a very tough line to walk. It absolutely is. Joe B. and 9307, not going to dabble in rumors, right? There's hearsay. There's all sorts of stuff out there. Until it's validated, until it's confirmed, we're not going to bring that up. Of course, there are whispers. We all hear them, but we're not going to dabble in rumors here. Kip, appreciate you chiming in here. He says, I'm very passionate about how club sports are impacting the sports that I coach, wherever it is that you're doing that, Kip. Really, really appreciate your insight. He says, it used to be select teams. Now it's parents select the team and write a check. It's the orange slice mentality. Parents spend more than a full ride scholarship on club fees, travel, food, time away from the rest of the family. It's a joke. Save your money, play school sports, then pay for your kid to go to college with that money. Again, Kip, I really appreciate your perspective. I see where it is you're from and what you're doing. Really appreciate you chiming into the show and giving your thoughts. I was never a select sports kid. I wasn't. I know plenty of people who were. Some of my best friends were select sports. But I think over the last 10 or 15 years, playing select has kind of lost its luster. In a lot of ways, in terms of, are you really, honestly, truly getting development that's a step ahead of everyone else? Again, not that I'm the perfect quintessential example. All that I can do is speak from my experience and tell you what it is that I went through. And I'll just use my baseball and basketball example, such as it is, right? So, baseball. I never played travel ball. Never did that growing up. I didn't. Neither did my younger brothers. We played the Junior Salt Dogs League. We went in and then we played our Legion Juniors and our Legion Seniors. We had kids come in and out of those teams. We had kids go in and out of the Legion program, right? We had some that would play, and of course, spring baseball, right? Lincoln Lutheran put a team together right before I got to high school. There for a while, we were co-oping with Raymond Central and Wahoo just to field a team. Wouldn't trade those memories for the world. I can't imagine, you know, not playing with those same guys that I played with to just go be on a select team that traveled across the country all summer. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong at all. But what I can tell you is that, number one, through the grace of God, number two, through the great coaching that I received outside of select teams, number three, through a little bit of, you know, spit and elbow grease, you know, I was all conference in baseball more times than many of my teammates who played select. And that's just one example. That's just me. I played Class B baseball in the co-op. I didn't go anywhere for college. I'm at peace with that. But just going to play select ball is not necessarily the, okay, my kid's going to get recruited. Oh, my kid's necessarily going to get better coaching. My brothers and I made it work. And then in basketball, I mean, the team that is nearest and dearest to my heart, when I think about my athletic career, as storied as it was, is the senior year basketball team that I played on. I mean, starting in fourth grade, I played with the same group of guys all the way through my senior year. That's 9 years of basketball that we had together. What did we play? We played YMCA league basketball. We played school basketball. We didn't go on the select teams, the travel teams, the club teams that have their role, that have their purpose, right? But none of us were going to get recruited by colleges to go play. Maybe we could have had we joined those teams. It's too late now. We'll never know. But some of the best memories I have from middle school sports and high school sports are with the same group of guys that I played with for 9 years. Max and Garrett, I know they're not listening. Still appreciate them anyways. I mean, I remember conversations between the three of us where, like, our goal is to get Lincoln Lutheran basketball back to state. Didn't happen when we were there. We ended up a game away a couple different times, and we got to live with that. But I wouldn't trade the memories or the journey for the world. For my money, the 15-16 Lincoln Lutheran team is the best in school history. No offense, Coach Balance, don't know if you're listening now, but I'd take my 15-16 group over any of the teams in recent years. But, you know, it's just some of the magic of high school, right? Growing up with those guys, getting to know them, you know, learning how each other works on a basketball court. It's not dead, it's not gone, but I worry that we're losing some of that. But then, yeah, I mean, the amount of money that gets spent on, really, you're paying for the status more than the coaching at this point, I feel like, in select in a lot of instances. Not every case. Sure, there are good select programs and bad select programs, better and worse. I get it. But just playing select, just paying that extra money to go travel around the country, if that's the experience you want to have, more power to you. Go have that experience. Knock yourself out. It doesn't have to be for everyone. We don't have to say this is the only way that you're going to get recruited. It's not the only way that you're going to develop into a good player. It's just not true. Select, club, travel, AAU, transferring schools is not the only way to be successful. It's just not. You know, not that I was a success at the highest level, but I'm happy with where I ended up, you know, and not that I can speak for everyone. 2281, volleyball is growing because it's not a contact sport. Football is also losing numbers. I mentioned this with, I think it was Raph as well, is that it's fascinating to see football grow as a spectator sport, but again, without having the hard numbers in front of me, anecdotally feel like participation is going down. Maybe that's concerns over player safety. Maybe it's the kids these days are soft. I don't know. But I feel like we have seen a rise in popularity in basketball over football. I don't know why that is in terms of you know, student athletes end up playing these sports. But anecdotally, it feels true. Big Bird, didn't Grand Island have to cancel their girls' basketball season? Yes, I believe that did end up happening, and that's wildly unfortunate, right? It's never good when you have to shut down a program for a year because of a lack of numbers anywhere, let alone at a Class A school. It's not a good look. It's painful, it's brutal, and it's a missed opportunity for all those young student-athletes. It's really a shame. 12U Dinger King. Select sports is a money machine business. They scream development, but it's not true. It's about winning rings and coaches' egos. You can find examples of the good, and you can find examples of the bad everywhere you look. Again, without having been a part of the select baseball culture, I don't know what it's about. I hear the same stories, but I don't want to get bogged down and that's the narrative. If that's true, if the select baseball mindset is come in, throw your sliders at age 12, blow your arm out, and you can do that because I'll feel good about myself as a coach for winning a ring, that's a problem. If it's all about, as a coach, oh yeah, look how many of the best kids I can accumulate and put them into these you know well-placed programs and then go on to you know bigger, better things, great. But it should be about the kid. It should not be about you. Unmasked Texter, youth sports is cutthroat. Soccer and baseball are by far the worst, with basketball coming close. And see, this is again where we can all have our personal feelings. And I don't have a right or wrong answer, but I can tell you it doesn't necessarily feel the best, right? Club soccer, club baseball, travel baseball, select baseball, whatever name you're going to put it by, club basketball, travel basketball, AAU basketball. If basketball is your favorite sport, that's all you want to do. If volleyball is your favorite sport, that's all you want to do. You want to travel around year round. You want to get good at it. And that's your jam. More power to you. Honestly, I mean that. If that's your jam, if that's what your kid wants to do and you want to support him in that, by all means, go for it. Please do not feel like I'm talking down to you. If you find a good program, if you find a good coach that you think is good for the personal and athletic development of your young student athlete and it works for you as a family, please go do your thing. Absolutely go do your thing. But don't feel obligated like that's your only option. And then when it comes to the cutthroat, we got to have a happy medium as a culture and as people between, oh, winning doesn't matter. Everyone gets a participation trophy and winning is the only thing that matters. You have to transfer out of, you know, playing with your friends so you can go win a state championship and get recruited by a better school. Again, there's nuance to it. And if you missed any of the conversation, if you're just tuning in on your drive home, would really recommend you go back and listen to really the first hour of the show leading into this discussion where I went into more of the nuance, right? Youth sports has to be a place where you learn to win. You know, how are you going to learn to win with class if not when you're young? It has to be a place where you learn to lose with class and with grace. If you don't learn how to handle adversity early, when are you ever going to learn how to handle adversity, handle losing with class? Where else are you going to get that motivation to get better when all you do is win? Facing adversity is a necessary part of life. And I'm not saying, you know, go just stick yourself out in the boonies just so you lose to build up toughness. No, we all want to win. I get it. Absolutely. But can't we have a happy medium where you do the best you can with what you got where you're at? You know, can't you just stay in your school district because it's a good school? You don't have to, you know, blur the lines of any rules. And sure, maybe they're not your best friends, but you're good enough friends with these people that, hey, give it a chance, stick it out. You never know if you can do something special. I'm not, again, I cannot tell you that transferring to a school with a better athletic program is wrong. I understand it. In fact, it might even be the right decision. But there's something about it, I assume in most of us, where it just feels wrong. It feels off to transfer for solely athletic reasons in high school. Even in college, for solely athletic reasons, it doesn't feel great. And that's led to a lot of discussions that we've had on this show and others about the transfer portal. I can't say it's wrong, right? It's for everyone to decide what's best for them. I get it. And again, do I think that legislation and changing the rules is the right move? Maybe. But I can't say it for 100% of a fact. You know, if it is just a passing trend that's going to go away, let's not be rash and implement rules just to make us feel like we're doing something, because there's always unintended consequences. But at the same time, you can't just sit back and do nothing if Class A football is actively being harmed. And that's where let's...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Get to this as well. So Stu Pospisil, obviously writing for the Omaha World Herald, one of the best on the high school beat. He tweeted this out same day, actually, as that Flatwater Free Press article dropped. He says, according to the NSAA, so Class A football will drop district competition starting with the 2026 season. That was approved by the NSAA board a week ago. Yesterday, a group of 11 Class A athletic directors developed the proposal that strives to eliminate mismatches while keeping the current point system. So the top 16 teams in points will advance to the state playoffs. The OPS AD said the 36 schools in Class A for 26-27 were surveyed about this proposal. Five initially voted no, and towards the end, 34 out of 36 voted yes, with only two holdouts. So the NSAA, instead of cracking down on the transfers, is instead taking a look at the scheduling model, where it's not just going to be the same powers beating up on the same also-rans in the district all the time. So what is that able to do? You get best on best. You don't have these wild mismatches. I think the hope for this proposal is that, going back to that Flatwater Free Press article, is that a school like Benson, right, when it's playing, you know, Northwest, and if it's playing Burke, and if it's playing Bellevue East more often, hey, we have a chance. Hey, we feel like we can win some of these games. Because, yes, you would love every athlete to go into every game with the mindset of, we're going to win. We can do this if we have a plan. We work hard enough, we stick together. Sometimes you're out talented and that's not enough. But sometimes you got to develop that mindset. It doesn't come from anywhere. You need tangible signs of success and progress to develop that mentality. And if it doesn't seem like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, maybe you're around the corner from the light and it's not shining in yet. Maybe the end of the tunnel is blocked and you need something like this from the NSAA to unblock the other side of the tunnel so you can see that little beam of light. Whatever it is, you know, it seems like the NSAA is aware of the issue, is recognizing it. And I do appreciate, I think, that this effort to get more quote unquote good on good matchups and more matchups that, you know, lend themselves to the level of competition that each school should be playing at. Because then, you know, let's say, you know, the Millard schools are in a division or play more often against each other, and then against a Bellevue West and a West Side and a Gretna and stuff like that. You know, that should be good for competition in the long run, because I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think it's ethically or morally correct to simply legislate advantages away. You still need a competition-based system. What I think this will do, though, is if you're playing teams that are more your peers, it changes the type of innovation that you need, and it gives the teams that are currently on the bottom a chance to cycle back up to the top, to build confidence, to build a program. And it's absolutely not going to be an overnight fix. This probably won't bear fruit for another decade. And then even on top of that, just saying, oh, you're only going to play these other, you know, teams that are closer to your level isn't necessarily a fix. It's going to take hard work from the community. It's going to take the right coach, the right athletic director, the right group of parents, the right group of kids to finally come through, you know, these other systems, these other schools in OPS or LPS or whatever it is, to make that change. Just because you change the rules, it's not a given they're going to work. But it's probably not going to work if you don't change the rules and amend them to meet the current moment and situation. We'll go to break there. We'll continue Old School right after this on 93.7 The Ticket.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back here on Old School. Austin Orman with EJ Foreman joining the show at 5. The segment of the program brought to you by the great people at Heartland of Nebraska Window. Locally and family-owned company based out of Hallam, Nebraska, they offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl, triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while still keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows, like I said, locally and family-owned with their own team of installers. Give them a call today for more info at 402-430-3852, or you can visit online, heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Back to our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line, keeping the conversation rolling. We will go to 0964. Blowouts in sports are a huge waste of time for both teams involved. I've been on both ends of it. Yeah, I'm sure Indiana and Illinois really feel like they wasted their time on Saturday. That's why you play the game and part of it. But it's different when a blowout happens organically like that, and it's an eye-opener, like, whoa, what did we just witness? Versus the deck is stacked against you. You know, there's two different ways to get to a blowout. It's either that surprise or that you saw it coming. You never feel good about a blowout when you didn't see it coming if you're a team that thought you were going to be competitive. You feel great about a blowout when you're a team that says, yeah, we really like our chances, we got a good team, and then it's your night and everything's clicking. But when it's, we've accumulated all the top talent and we just need some tune-up games before we go to the state tournament, yeah, that never feels good. Or, hey, we have all the resources, you have none of the resources, we have all the players, you have none of the players, take this whooping. That never feels good. And that exactly is a waste of everyone's time. Disc Golf Jake, I do think this is interesting. He says, the anti-participation trophy crowd is wild to me, especially the ones who run 5K half marathons and marathons. You know what they get and what they display? Participation trophies. Disc Golf Jake, let me know, are you a runner? Are you one of those people who runs? If so, more power to you, more credit to you. Could not be me. Probably will never be me. Running just for running's sake? Yeah, absolutely not. Not about it. But think too about the culture around those sports. Running, you can do it individually. You can do it solo. Or you can run with your buddies. You can run with your friends, right? Oh, let's just get together and we'll have a running club, a jogging club. We'll do it, get our exercise together, and that's great. You know, there are competitive runners, absolutely, right? I mean, you look at Olympic track and field, you look at college, high school track. Yeah, there's absolutely competitive running. There is, I get it. But there's also much simpler, easier ways to make running into not a non-competitive venture, but a venture that is you against you. And you go into it thinking that, no, you know, I'm not an ultra marathoner. No, I'm not going to, you know, run 26 miles in sub 2 hours or anything like that, you know, but you can always better yourself. And so in running and distance running in, you know, 5Ks, half marathons and marathons, there can be an element of, I beat myself. I did better than I did before. It can be, hey, I have never done this before, and here's the challenge that I conquered. But it's not a zero-sum game. It's not like football. It's not like basketball. It's not like baseball, where there's a winner and there's a loser. You know, yes, there's a winner in a race. I get it. There's a first-place medal. There's a second-place medal. There's a third-place medal. But that's not the goal for everyone who signs up to run a 5K, a half marathon, or a marathon. Winning is the goal, is what we're told is the goal in football and basketball and baseball and volleyball and softball, what have you, you know? So maybe winning being the focus is wrong, but it's just such a different mindset between those sports. So I can understand where, you know, if you're in a youth football league or if you're in a youth baseball league, you know, I think it's kind of stupid to hand out an eighth place trophy or a seventh place trophy, right? You get your gold medal, your bronze medal, your silver medal, your bronze medal, right? You finish first, second, or third in your league. Cool. You get a prize, because if you give everyone in those sports a trophy, sure, some of them will discard it. Yeah, whatever. I know it doesn't mean anything, but also by giving everyone something, even if we know in our heads and in our hearts and our brains and minds and guts, what have you, that the eighth place trophy doesn't mean as much as the first place trophy, there's something about winning, about having something that someone else doesn't have, that just triggers something in our brains, right? Sometimes in a good way, right? Man, Jay's talked about it. The feeling of winning being addicting. You know, I can't not win. I can't not do everything I have to win because I like winning. I like making other people lose. And it's really cool holding up that Orange Bowl trophy at the end of the year. It's really cool holding up the Fiesta Bowl trophy at the end of the year. You know, and then there's the flip side of it. Man, it would be really nice to win, but I'm not going to luck into winning. It's not just going to happen. If I want to hold up that Heisman Trophy, if I want to hold up that first place medal, I got to train harder. I got to push myself to places that I didn't think I could reach. Sometimes it's healthy not to give out a participation trophy. In sports like football, in basketball, in baseball, volleyball, what have you, where that's the culture. Running is different. You know, swimming here and there could be different. I don't know. I'm not, again, in the swimming world at all. But I think about that example of the 5K half marathons and marathons. Would I keep my participation trophy, medal, ribbon, whatever? If I were ever to run, I probably would keep my first one because guess what? I haven't done it. And then let's say that I enjoy it and I really like running and I get into it. And then I run a better time my next time. Yeah, you know what? I'm keeping that. I'm proud of myself of the step forward that I took. But we measure winning in different ways in different sports. So I think that the participation trophy culture isn't just a one-size-fits-all. It's not just a simple catch-all term because it manifests itself in so many different ways across these sports. 9307, appreciate your thoughts. Eric, oh, now Austin hates running and people getting healthy. Oh, I do hate running. Oh, I do. So running for me is, yeah, coach, I can hit a triple. Yeah, coach, I'll go from first to home on a double in the gap. I got you. Yeah, I'll score from first on a single. Or sure, yeah, I can run down this fast break and I can hustle back on defense. You know, sure, we can press for a few possessions. I can run. But just putting my head down and running has never stuck with me. It just hasn't. Not that I've given it maybe the old college try and put my mind to it and stuck with it in any dedicated way, shape, or form. But it's just not for me. Like, why would I want to run in place on a treadmill for 20 minutes? What's the point of that? Because it makes me feel better? No, it's boring. Well, listen to music. Listen to a podcast. Yeah, that doesn't help. I'm thinking about how heavy I'm breathing. I'm thinking about this is pointless. I'm standing still. My neighborhood just isn't that interesting to run around. I don't have this overwhelming need to just get out and run to see the sights of my city or in my neighborhood. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's a character flaw. Tell me if it is. But I've never just been interested in putting my head down and running. Now, put a piece of leather on my hand and hit something in the air. Oh, I'm running after that thing. I'm going to go get it. There's a loose ball out there. Yep, I'm after it. Tell me to beat you to the fence. Yeah, I'll put my head down and I'll run for a little bit. But man, cross country, no, sir, not for me. Even track. I always felt like my relative speed played down in track. I always felt a lot faster when I was in the outfield. I always felt a lot faster when I was dribbling a basketball than I was without it. Maybe that makes me crazy, but I think there's something to it, right? It's not that I wasn't motivated to run fast when I did track in middle school or in conditioning, right? You know, that's something I appreciate about what my parents did, you know, win every conditioning drill. Yeah, I mean, that was always on my mind. I was always above average speed, not maybe the fastest kid that the Lincoln Lutheran ever saw, but certainly fast enough to get the job done. But just running until I don't feel like running anymore or just running for hours because that's a way to be healthy. No, I miss the community aspect of playing sports, right? I miss the fellows I play basketball with. I miss my baseball teammates. And part of that's natural. It's life. It's moving on. And part of it's the hours, right? That, you know, I'm here. Hard to find runs late at night. I want to spend time with my family. you know, running and sports just aren't in the, don't feel like they're in the cards for me right now. I'd love them to be again in the future. I just don't know how to get back into it. I felt kind of lost athletically, you know, since sports dried up for me after my freshman year of college. But I'm sure as heck not going to running for that release and that outlet. Unmasked Texter, giving everyone a participation trophy justifies the people putting on the tournament to charge more money. It is a cost. The more, you know, ribbons and trophies you buy, I absolutely understand that. Big Bird, I'll run up and down the court till my toes curl up from cramping, but wouldn't ever run just for fun. Thank you. Thank you. No, there's got to be something more for me than just, oh yeah, let's just run. That's so nebulous. That's so open-ended. Give me a basketball. Give me a baseball. Sure, let me play flag football. I'll play, you know, frisbee golf, or not even like just disc golf, right? But like ultimate frisbee. There it is. I knew I'd get there eventually. Ultimate frisbee's freaking fun. That was a blast. That was my favorite basketball conditioning. But just go run around in circles, or just run for, you know, 10 seconds in your 100-meter dash? Nah, man, not going to do it. Unmasked Texter, my daughter runs cross-country, and I think she's crazy. My wife was a cross-country girl. She ran a half marathon. I respect the heck out of her for that. I am so proud of her to this day for that being what she did. It's incredible. You know, I respect people who can do it. I'm sure I could if I put my mind to it, right? I've been told that I have that kind of 800-meter or cross-country type of build. But I haven't always, right? Like, I was the little kid whose legs moved really quick when I was growing up. Distance didn't seem like it was in the cards for me. So maybe sometime in the future, wifey and I can get into running. But I've told her multiple times, don't hold your breath. If you want me to, I'll do it with you. But it's probably not for me. Westy, participation trophies are for parents who sucked at sports as a kid. Hilarious take. That is pretty funny. But wow, guys, this has taken up 2 hours. This has been an incredible conversation. We got a short segment left here in hour two of Old School. Jay Foreman will be on the horn for hour three. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
A couple more texts to get to as we continue our discussion of high school athletics and the state of them here in the state of Nebraska. This segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska. No longer Love Volleyball Omaha, now it's Love Volleyball Nebraska. You can get your tickets, you can get everything you need to become a Love Volleyball member today at lovb.com. I appreciate my dad listening. Coach Dad, right? He's a big driver behind where I am as a person, where I got to as an athlete as well. So as always, shout out Coach Dad for that. He says, the only excuse I can think of for specializing only playing one sport in high school is that some high school coaches, trust me, I've heard stories, automatically give preference to kids they know played for certain select or travel teams. That says more about the lack of character of the coach than it does about the quality of team a kid did or did not play for. Yeah, that's just the thing. The adults got to be the adults. The grownups got to be the grownups. What the adults prioritize, the young athletes will learn to prioritize. There'll be some that push back against it, but it's hard to be a kid and not have the same mindset as your coach or not pick up at least some aspects of it. So adults, I assume that's the bulk of you listening in your cars on the drive home right now or on the podcast later, which, by the way, Spotify, believe we're back, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. Check out the podcast if you ever miss any of the show. It's uploaded daily for you. If you ever miss anything, any of your favorite 93.7 The Ticket shows are wherever it is you are looking for your ticket content. But yeah, adults, be the grownups in the room, right? No, not everyone says, oh, that's the right way to do things. That's the wrong way to do things. Navigate the gray area with the best of intentions. That's the other piece of advice that I can offer you. As a coach, as a parent of an athlete, as a supporter of a team, whoever you are, whatever role you play, very rarely are these decisions black and white. So navigate the gray with the best in mind for your child. Whatever the best is, I leave that to you to determine. That is not necessarily my place. Let's get to this, though, to round out hour two. Magnum PI says, is participation trophy culture even real? Both of my sons play in several baseball tournaments every spring and summer for the last 8 years. They've never received a trophy or ring for anything below runner up. So that's interesting. I think that it is fair to say that there was some aspect of participation trophy culture where it did seem like they were getting handed out like candy, where you did, as long as you played in the league or appeared in the tournament, you were able to, you know, take home some hardware of some sort. And I think that, again, it has positives and negatives, and it's more about how you leverage those and how you use them, to what degree you emphasize the participation trophy culture versus the rings culture, you know, the culture of winning at all costs. Because when you think about the dangers of only prioritizing winning, right? Unless you win, then you're not good enough. Unless you win, you're worth less. You're less valuable as a person, as an athlete. That is a dangerous message that we should not be sending to student athletes or to young children learning to play sports, which are an incredible vehicle for socialization and personal growth and societal growth, you know? So we can't just say, unless you win, you are less than. That's the wrong message to send. But I also believe it's the wrong message to send. And sometimes I feel like, you know, we've gone this way as a society where winning doesn't matter enough. Oh, you tried your best. Well, what happens to the winner, right? What happens to the high achieving kid or the high achieving team, whatever it is? Well, I won. I put in more hard work. I got some lucky breaks and took advantage of them. This is my special moment, but they get something to take home too. We can't only prioritize winning, but we shouldn't minimize it either. When student athletes, when teams go through something and they achieve more, that's worthy of being celebrated to a healthy degree. Not that they are more valuable because they won. Not because their work is more valuable because they achieved the ultimate goal and won the title, but because they did achieve more. You know, that needs to be recognized, celebrated, and valued in a way that still doesn't demean others, but it does need to be put on a pedestal, deserves to be put on a pedestal. It's not wrong to celebrate winning. It's not wrong to, you know, congratulate and appreciate the efforts and encourage those who didn't win. But there's a healthy balance where we can't just say, oh, just try and you're automatically good enough and you get this thing just for showing up. You know, there's got to be levels to it. There's got to be nuance. Again, handle the gray area better. And same with winning. Winning can't be everything because not everyone wins. We can't place all the value on whether you won or you lost. But we also can't minimize that, hey, sometimes someone's better at something than someone else. Sometimes there's a team that's better at this than a different team. And so because of that, if a team wins a championship, someone wins a gold medal, yes, we get the, you know, first, second, and third. But if we give a participation trophy, if we give a stone medal to the eighth place runner in a 100-meter dash, and they feel like they got something, sometimes that can send the wrong message as well. So let's just be careful with our incentive structures. Let's be careful with our messaging, and let's navigate the gray area with the future in mind. Understand what message we're giving off. We'll go to break. Ought to have Jay Foreman, Husker Hall of Famer, on the line for hour three of Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. This is Lincoln's home for sports talk on the FM dial. Also online at theticketfm.com.
On the internet.
KNTK FM Fern, 93.7 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.